One, my mom always made unhelpful comments about my looks before going to church, saying that people would think certain things about me because of how I look. Okay, now, what will people think when your mother says that to you enough as a child, that does impact you in a negative way? Too much concern about other people's minds. And so, yeah, that probably is something to do with this, is that you have a little bit of a wounded soul with regards to expecting judgment from people. And instead of your mother telling you, you look great, right? Or here, let's change into this. Now you look great. Instead, you just have like this negative tone that has been built into you. Number two, he says, I've overheard a gossiper say something hermeneutically wrong in an unwholesome way. I'm not quite sure what hermeneutically wrong. Hermeneutics is the study of interpretation. You heard a gossiper at church say something in an unwholesome way about another person who wasn't there. All right, so you know that there's people at church who have a loose tongue, okay? Number three, I feel like people judge me for my appearance for X reason. Again, there's not a reason that's given here. Any thoughts on how I can get over this? I'm tired of caring, but I don't want things like my reputation to be hurt. It's also worth mentioning that I have a pretty good relationships there, and they do rely on me to do some things that nobody else there is able to do. I believe my fear is irrational. It may be irrational or not irrational, but it's certainly not helping you, and it's not something that you have to submit to, right? You know, here's a proverb for you if you want to kind of put it in the back of your mind and hang on to it. Oh, come on now. It's going to move you over just a little bit so we can see the numbers. Now we're going to do this here. There we go. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in Jesus Christ shall be safe. So, you know, I'm not saying that you're in a snare. I'm saying that's there to give you confidence. I mean, when I read that proverb, what it says to me is, oh, I don't have to fear man. Oh, I'm safe in Jesus Christ, right? It's not there back to the testing. It's not there to test myself with to find out whether I'm wise. It's there to tell me what wisdom is and that that's been promised to me in Christ. So if I see that I do have the fear of man, I can just know that's a snare in and of itself. It's a snare which I am free from in Christ. That's a permanent reality and a story I can then begin to tell myself, which I know to be true and stronger than my fear. It doesn't mean the fear is going to go away, but gradually over time, you can make inroads into that brain channel. We talked about brain channels last week and, you know, scribbling in colored purple crayon over your bad channel so that you scramble it a little bit. A good way to do that is just form new channels by memorizing certain bits of scripture that you say to yourself. So that's first. Second thing is, I mean, we've mentioned boundaries before. I think the book Boundaries is something that is dealing with the same issue. What other people think is up to them. Mm-hmm. You can't control it. And trying to is an exercise in frustration and depression and fear. So learning to be okay with other people. So what if people at church don't like you? That's kind of their problem. The bigger issue is, and this is where your irrational fear is probably rooted, do you like yourself? Are you okay being who you are? Finding that line between taking care of yourself, wearing Sunday best, and being okay with the fact that people don't like the way you look. Like okay, like that's that really, you're that shallow? You know, okay, man, that's on you a little bit. That seems to be where you need to go. No one's looking that close. They really aren't. I mean, this is like seventh grade, right? Like you're staring, for me, it's like seventh grade. I'm staring there, I'm going to get each hair exactly right. And oh my goodness, I have a little pimple. Everyone's going to be looking at, like, yeah, if you get in their face with the whitehead and start squeezing, like they're probably going to be like, this is kind of gross. Or if you got the giant whitehead, you know, deal with it. But like people aren't looking at your hair unless you're doing something to make them, right? Which again, not washing it will do that. Dyeing it blue will do that, right? Yeah. So if you're drawing attention to yourself with how you look, then that's a decision you're making, right? I don't, it doesn't seem like that's where he's at.
I don't think so. I mean, I think honestly, it's just a general self-consciousness,
right?
That the upbringing, the mother's words just didn't help with.
Right.
I mean, and isn't it so true that we all do feel like the attention is always on us, but it just isn't. Like, do you remember, think about how many people at church you remember the clothing they wore their last shoes. Sunday or their shoes. Yeah. Like, and we think, oh man, I could never wear that outfit again because I wore it last Sunday. What would people think?
Right.
And it's like, honestly, I don't remember what anybody wore last Sunday because, well, I was too focused on myself.
On me. That's right. That's right. Which is, again, there's power in that. It's not, I mean, there's sin in that too.
But there's a lot of power sin in that.
Recognizing that everyone's just self-absorbed. And so you don't have to worry about being so self-absorbed and can instead be outwardly focused, especially since you're not there to be liked. You're there to be forgiven and to be fed by the scriptures as a story of true knowledge and to be fed by the Lord's Supper as the medicine of immortality. And if someone really doesn't like you, like, Judgment Day's kind of got their number. So it's not up to you. Like, let it be, in a sense, right? Like, that's on them.